Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
All right, so welcome back, everybody. This is going to be a pretty fun episode. We're going to give you your 2 minutes of Tinder first, because I think that's important. So Megan and I learned some pretty valuable lessons this past couple of weeks, wouldn't
sure
you say?
Did. Sure did. Yeah, never a dull moment in the life of dating in your 40s.
Well, I think last time we had talked about Steele, as we so aptly name him, named him. He, I thought, was this great, wonderful guy, like talking about, you know, fun things and the future and all the great stuff you want to hear, and like, you know, love bombing, come to find out when I look back at it. But so completely ghosted me, talked to him on Friday, was supposed to go out on Sunday, and it's like an episode of The Leftovers. He was gone, like nothing.
Yep.
So I, thanks to you, sent a text and I was like, hey, fuck all the way off. Like, I don't care if, like, you don't, if you're not interested, dude, I'm not interested. Bye. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Oh no, you have to actually hold yourself accountable. So, you know, whatever. I sent a quick kind of message and of course you saw it, because why wouldn't you? And like, of course, no response. And no response, of course, is the response.
The response,
so I'm good.
Right.
So when he like ghosted me the other day, I was like, whatever, I'm just going to go and look and see what I have. So I ended up, I know, so this is so ridiculous. And it's, so I ended up like, the likes are kind of like too many. And I'm not, I don't mean that in like a snobby way, but like, honestly, a guy sees a girl and he's like, hot, 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 hot. Like, so I happened to just see it and the face caught my eye and I was like, why do I know that face? And I looked at it and I was like, oh my God. So this is a kid that I used to hang out with a million years ago. And when I tell you, like, hung out with, like, we spent Friday to Sunday with each other, like, never, we drank, we did stuff, you know, at the pub.
Whatever,
And, like, it, we just, whatever, we partied. It was our partying days. Thank God none of it's on social media, because I don't think we would have ever made it through life. And it was him. And I was like, stop.
So
and I haven't seen him in, I don't know, 15 years? Like, no, probably a little more than that.
I mean, so how's he look?
Oh, my God. Of course, so good. I mean, he was handsome then, but, like, he's super handsome now. So I, like, I sent, screenshotted it and I sent him a message and I was like, Sully, what the fuck? And
wait,
he was
wait, dude,
was waiting for this. Yeah, he was like, I was waiting for you to screenshot this and send it to me. He's like, I cannot believe that I've seen you after all these years. And it was literally like, we didn't have any time apart.
Oh my God.
Were like, you know, talking back and forth or whatever. And I'm like, what the fuck with the ghosting shit? So then he's like, yeah, dude, he's like, I don't know why anybody does it. Like, don't guys have sisters or kids or mothers and stuff? Like, nobody, they wouldn't want this to happen to their sisters or their mothers, you know, whoever. He's like, I don't do any of that. So of course now we have nonstop talked for like the last 2 days. We're like, we gotta get a drink. We gotta do this. We gotta do that. Like, obviously we're going to, but like, I guess the silver lining of that whole thing was I got to reconnect with him and I'm so happy. So thank you, Jay. You no longer have the name Steele because you didn't earn it. But thank you, Jay, for completely fucking me over enough to the point that I was like, oh my God, let me look back. So
Yep.
thanks for
Nope.
that.
And I love that. Number one. Number two, I'm so proud of you for sending that message because I don't remember where I saw it. I can't take full credit for it, but what I was telling you earlier and what like I'm trying to drill into my head is like we get like so butthurt, right? I mean, bad enough what Abs did to me, like, and I
Right.
messaged him and sent him that big like fuck you, and then he never responded. So ghost in and of itself in a different way. But now it's like all these things, like you're talking to guys and they're like saying all the right things, like, oh, I'll do this for you, and this is the type of guy that I am, blah, blah, blah. And you're getting pumped and hyped and everything, like, wow, this seems to be maybe a normal guy that I found on here. And it's like all of a sudden, boom, gone. Like I had two guys in the rotation, I'll say, and it was like all of a sudden stopped. And like
Right.
for a while, I'd like get butthurt. I mean, definitely not invested in back and forth as you and Jay were, but like having to like literally take the time and be mindful and remind yourself, you don't know these people, right? You never met
Yeah.
them. You develop some sort of connection, but it's kind of like somebody going on a job interview. You can sell your best self for the first hour or what, and you know, make somebody do believe you do great things, and it's just how you present yourself later on that really matters. And it's like he presented himself well. Like we don't know these people. They sold us the great lines and what we needed to see on a silver platter, and
Yep.
then we build up the potential of them. Oh, well, he's saying this, then this could be it. This could be my big break. This could be the reason why nothing's worked out. And then
Yep.
boom, gut punch, right?
Yeah,
But you know
100%.
what? When we look at it, when you look at it that way, it's like, well, you just showed your true colors to me. Thank you for doing it early, unlike the years of time that I've wasted of my life trying to fucking fix broken people.
Yep.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for taking the trash out. I will know that in sometimes maybe it is me, but right now it's not. And thank you for helping me move on. And I love the fact that this kid's name is Sully. Like, could we get any more fucking, like,
he's so Irish, some of them, it's
yeah,
ridiculous. And
right.
I was like, I don't think I can call you by your first name. Like I
Ever.
can't. He's like, if you do, I am not going to answer you. He's like, because you should know better. I mean, like I've
Right.
known the kid since I was in my 20s, you know,
Right.
but it's funny to think as like an adult, like what do I wait a minute. Do we still, I'm still 20. So do I call,
Right.
like, how do we, but yeah, he's silly. And that is like, when you probably know him, but
Probably.
we'll go
We'll
down
find
that one
out.
out there. But yeah, it was kind of funny. Like just the back and forth, but also, so this, you know, the iron worker decided to say numerous times that he was a gentleman and that he was afraid to ask for my number because he didn't want to make me uncomfortable. Didn't want to do this because he didn't want to make me uncomfortable. So I, of course, looked up the meaning of gentleman, and it is not, ironically enough, what he promised. So, a man of good social position, especially one of wealth and leisure, we can take the wealth and leisure out because this isn't 1872, but chivalrous, courteous, or an honorable man. So, I'm gonna just throw that back at you, buddy, because
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Nothing
Anyway,
about that interaction was honorable.
no. Anyway, onward and upward. So we are going to talk to Carson today. He is security in a pretty big hospital that is predominantly a lower class community. A lot of violence, a lot of gangs, and he's put in a position of the weight of the hospital kind of being on him and all his coworkers. You know, he has to protect us all, which, I mean, how do you do that, you know?
Right. With nothing, like with your verbal de-escalation skills, like we were saying the other day,
Right.
right?
And that poor kid is one of the nicest kids I've met. He is like a genuinely nice kid. But again, he's putting himself like in front of us every time, you know,
Right.
something happens. So we're gonna talk to him. Also, I was, if you guys don't follow Nurse Erica on TikTok, go look her up. She is actually pretty fantastic because she does like the statistics, or I shouldn't say statistics, but the amount of times each week that there is violence against a nurse. And she posted the other day and she said, so six incidents occurred this week. And then, like, you know, I scroll, scroll, scroll. And then she said, actually, I'm sorry, I lied about the six. It was actually seven. And I'm thinking to myself, or well, there was actually eight, because the one that where my coworker got punched in the face, that's not publicized. You don't hear about it, you know? So, but she does her research. She looks back. She actually looks for the facts. She looks for the hospitals. She looks for documentation so that it's not just some other
Hearsay.
person randomly posting stuff. Yeah. So she's, and I like her. She's like right to the point. So if you're not following her, definitely go take a looky-loo at her. What else? What else do we have? A Costco trip was amazing.
Hilarious. Love it. I love a good trip to Costco.
Oh, God. There wasn't 2 minutes that there wasn't us finding something completely
Want to know
dirty.
what we did not get on camera though? Let's give this guy an
What?
honorable mention. The
How
guy who
disgusting.
literally ran into me with his cot with a refrigerator that was too tall for him to see, and he took my left ass cheek out. I was like, "Sir, buy me dinner first." And he was like, "Don't sue me. I don't have insurance."
And then I said, take her out, take her out. And I meant like literally take you out, like push her, his cotton. He was like, oh, don't mind
He was like, "Oh, you gotta come down to Massachusetts." I said, "Buddy, that's where I am already."
I do. It's so much fun. That was awesome. And the guy that when I was tasting the kiwi things and he was like, oh, I heard they were supposed to be
Oh.
hard. Sir, if you only knew.
That's what we say a lot of times. But yeah.
So let's offend a bunch of people. What's the difference between a hookah and Jesus?
Oh, Jesus. What is it?
Way they look at you when you nail them. And you're welcome.
God.
Oh my
Well,
God.
what's the I'll piggyback on that. It was very similar, but we'll just really dig it in. What's the difference between actual Jesus and a picture of Jesus?
Oh, what?
The picture only needed one nail to hang him up.
Oh, my mother is gonna disown me.
Samesies. We're in
Okay.
the first week of Lent.
Yes, 100%, and we are in so much trouble.
And it's Sunday.
Yes, correct. So, let's talk to Hassan. He is so much fun to be around. So, couple questions, and I don't know if you kind of missed the beginning of a 20-second Tinder stories.
Oh, Jesus.
Do you
I don't think
have
Tinder's working out in your favor.
Thanks, buddy. No, it's not. Actually, are you working tomorrow?
Am I? Yeah, I am.
Okay, good. So I have a story for you. I'll tell it. I already ran
Oh,
through it on here,
Jesus.
so they don't rehear it.
Oh,
But
boy.
so you are in charge of basically keeping everybody safe. You're in charge of all the shit that comes into the ER and everywhere else on the floors. And you know as well as I do that, you know, we call you a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you feel going to work knowing that you have to do all of that? And like, what, at what point does it become like you guys don't have enough resources?
I would say, going into work, it's just, knowing that I'm a resource, someone that's reliable. I try to be as reliable as I can. Same with all my other coworkers. Especially try to keeping the hospital safe within the inside of the hospital and the outside. The only time it becomes like, really stressful to deal with is, obviously when other people are at risk, like when we're out in the hallways, right? That causes certain situations where it's like, all right, is this even safe for us to be out here?
And do you feel like almost too much is put on you with, I guess, a lack of power, I want to say. Not power in the sense that you don't have the strength to restrain somebody or any of those things that you have to do, but you're not allowed to carry weapons. You're not allowed to have some of the things that
So
could
we're
help protect
definitely
us.
We're definitely restricted in that category for sure, but that's on like that's just the hospital. Like that has nothing. We've tried pushing for like tasers and stuff. Those would also be very helpful. But it also comes with a liability too. So I just don't think the hospital's ready to push that liability.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I mean, the liability of, staff getting punched. Like the other day when there was a staff member that got my coworker that got punched in the face, then a sitter that got hit so hard that she had to be seen and then sent home. And then, one of your guys got kicked and punched. But this is all by the same, person. So, I mean, when does the liability end and the protection begin? Because I feel bad for you guys.
Right. And then, obviously, it's something that obviously continues day to day. There's incidents almost every single day, as we see. It's not just at our hospital, but also at other hospitals as well. And, if you look at New Hampshire, right, the state mental hospital,
Oh, yeah.
now they carry firearms, right?
They do, yeah.
So unfortunately, it's just when a major incident occurs, then they're ready to take that extra precaution,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
Yeah. I think the department that, you guys in the hospital that we're in that, I won't mention, but as a whole, the EAS relationship with you guys is really great. Like we know you guys by name. We talk to you outside of work. We feel comfortable saying to you, like, hey, I need a little bit of help. Do you feel like there are kind of strained relationships anywhere else in the hospital?
I think that, the relationships that are built within the hospital are very strong relationships. I mean, they're great to have, great connections, especially when, when we're dealing with each other in stressful situations, maybe situations where we're gonna bounce off each other to kind of de-escalate somebody.
Yeah.
I think that's also important to, build our own little family within, rather than, just show up to work and say hi and bye. I'd rather get to know somebody. That's why I'd rather, show more of my face, try to engage more, try to understand someone more. So.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I mean, Megan, you when you and I work together, Carson and I have the same relationship that you and I had with, security at our place. Especially Lewis. I mean, like, forget it, the greatness we had there. But do you feel the same way? Like, they should be given more training and more weapons. I'm not saying they need to carry an AK in the hospital, but a taser would be great. What do you think, Meg?
Right, like I agree. I think that it's something that's super important. I feel awful for them. Like I know I reference this a lot. The hospital I worked at before, when I worked at a psych hospital, we didn't have security. So the hardest thing for me coming to the ER was not going hands-on with my own patients, not doing the mechanical violent restraints by myself, and just watching a whole different type of shit show unfold, and then coming and being told, no, you don't go hands on, right, if you don't have to, type of thing. And I'm like, wait, I have help. But then it's like we get to this point and you're like, well, do the pair of blue gloves work better? You know what I mean? Because I feel awful for them. They're going in and stepping in front of us, and like they have no different resources than we do. And it's like what you were saying earlier, when does it get to the point where none of us are safe, and it gets like, hey, I'm not abandoning you, but like one of us is definitely going to get our asses kicked here.
Yeah, and it's I mean, I guess for both of us, Meg, I mean, I feel lucky to have, the security that we have,
Yeah, I
Carson
did.
and all the guys that we've worked with,
Yeah.
they're great people.
Yeah, the security at our hospital is it's awesome, and they save us. And it's like you guys were touching on the relationships that you build. Like not looking at them as just a coworker, just, you know, somebody that you interact with, but like developing that bond with them that you know they have your back in a shit show and vice versa. Like if because all it takes is one patient to either number one make a wrong move or make a stupid ass accusation, and it's like we have to have each other's backs in that situation.
Yeah. And Carson, just out of curiosity, because of course we always go back to nurses getting, people getting into relationships with their coworkers, whether it's security or fire or police or whoever comes in to
Oh,
the
yeah.
you guys can't even walk through a floor without, scrub bottoms dropping all over the place. Does it bother you that that happens?
I mean, you know,
That's probably a stupid question asking a
he's like, no, why would that bother me?
all. I mean, it's on your own personal judgment call whether you want to, you know, fit in your own workplace, you know, excuse my
You're
language,
so
but
political. You really are.
right.
But you're
But
leaving us too for bigger and better things, which is,
yeah.
suck for us, but you're going to be on a police department, and that's, a huge loss for us, but a big gain for the police department.
Right.
So, what are your
And
thoughts on that?
I mean, you've given me the fair warnings and everything.
It's true.
you know, it's definitely gonna be a big stepping stone, and it's gonna be
Yeah.
different not being at the hospital with everybody. You
Yeah.
know, all the relationships I've built now are just kind of, you know, once you move on to something bigger and better, it kind of fades away after a while. So I'm hoping to, you know, maintain those relationships I made and carry that down the road.
Yeah. No,
That
you're
would definitely
100% not getting rid of me, buddy. I'm gonna text you the
not
second I roll into your town and be like, guess how fast I'm
oh
going.
no.
Just kidding. I would never do that, ever. That's
Lies.
awful.
That's such a lie.
Well, my car. I can't get away with
I do. You tried lying to me too.
that I saw where you parked, and I'm not gonna say it out loud because I don't want to get in trouble. I was like, I did not. I parked
Yeah,
where I was supposed to,
she
and he's
doesn't
like,
listen. She doesn't listen to the parking. Well,
what nurse
no.
does, let's be honest.
that is
Yeah,
true.
I
That
know.
is true. You guys are in
Yeah.
your own worlds.
Yeah. He called me out and I was like, no way, that is totally not my truck. And he was like, yeah, okay. And he described my truck and my license plate, and I was like, that
I
might
wish
be
that he like took a
mine.
picture of you sitting in it. That would have been amazing. This is not your truck, Kristen.
Well, that
Yeah,
would have been a little
weird.
creepy.
Yeah.
I know. Hiding behind the pole. Oh,
Yep.
that's what she said. So, oh, Carson. So,
Oh,
we
Kristen.
100% appreciate you being here and giving us insight. I hope that you just stay with us forever.
Know,
But
right? But I
we'll
don't know.
have you
We'll
back
see.
on, though, when you have
Yes.
handcuffs and a gun, and all the badge bunnies are like,
God.
oh
Oh,
God,
yep.
he's a cop. Oh, we'll have to just make sure we keep them in check.
Right.
Yeah, now I have my security guards right here. So
Exactly. Yes, sir.
keep a lookout for me.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm
All
looking
right,
forward
buddy.
to the stories,
Oh,
through,
yes,
you know,
sir.
your Tinder adventures.
Oh,
So
don't worry, there'll be
It's
more.
I'm
a
sure
doozy,
there will be.
buddy.
All right.
I will
Bye.
see you later.
Thank
Thanks for
you.
having
Thank
co thanks
you.
for
Yeah,
coming, Carson.
thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye, honey. Bye. At TCC, we find a personalized routine that works for you. Not everybody comes in the same shape, size, or even motivation. We want to meet with you online. We'll do a free consultation. You tell us what you're looking for, and we'll work with that in every step of the way. We also have appointments that you can make if you just need a little pick-me-up and you need to just have somebody say, it's okay, we got your back, let's start over. We have that for you at TCC. Head on over to thecrispycoach.com and schedule your free consultation. That kid is the greatest.
He
He
is.
is. He's just so fun. Like, he really is one of the people that like makes a big deal out of relationships in the EI. I mean, I don't get to see them on floors because, most of the craziness happens with us, but there's a lot of his coworkers that are just like, they come and talk to us. We know their girlfriends' names. We know they're like side businesses and they're all getting on the police or fire or,
Right,
whatever. It's, it's great to have them. I do feel bad though that they are put in that position to, what if some, I mean, it's a matter of time. Let's face it, with all the violence, it is a matter of time before someone shoots up one of our hospitals. I hate to say it out loud and I'm not trying to curse
No,
us, but
you're
let's face
accurate.
it. Yeah. And I think like, you're my emergency contact. So, like, you know what
Ditto.
I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, what is the, who do they call? You call another nurse.
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
great.
Yeah. But I hope it doesn't happen. But it, just with the way the world is going, it's just terrible.
It is. And it's like we work, like we've mentioned before, and we'll say it's not Newton. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
So you had a pretty nasty day the other day, and we don't need to go into detail for HIPAA reasons, but it was something that I think will stick with you for quite some time.
Yeah.
And I think part of the reason why we are who we are is because of what we see and have to go through.
Yeah, it was a tough day at work when tough day at work no matter what when you lose a patient, but it's like, certain types of patients, certain situations is, hard, like harder to deal with, right? It's just the setting, maybe the age, everything, the environment, everybody that's involved. And it was just something that the people that were involved that day will always like have that with them. And you just, the thing you look at is like, not beating yourself up and educating like the younger people, like, hey, you did your best, whatever you did in that was your role in that situation. You did what you could. You gave everything that you could to give that patient a fighting chance. And, if there were things that could be tweaked, you will do them from now on. Like whether you say it's in their memory or it made you a better person or whatever. But in this instance, I don't think anything could have been done to change the outcome. And it was just being there, for people, and it was a lot, and it just, made you take a step back and say, like, it's okay to be human. It's okay to let it impact you and cry, because there's so many situations we deal with death so much every day that it's like, I don't, I guess desensitized is a good word for it, but at the same time, we're not. It's just we have to shut down to move on, because it's like, yep, you lost a patient. You have to have your, give them a moment of silence because you lost a life that you're going to honor for a couple minutes. But then you gotta, fix your ponytail and step out, because sometimes you have seven other patients that you have to get back to. And it sucks like that way. It sucks that that's the way things are and that nobody sees it, and you just push it down and push it down. But then there's things like the other day that it was like, nope, I can't do this. I cannot go back out. Like everybody that was involved like took some time to decompress, and it's like going home, you realize like the trickle down effect that things like this have on patients and their lives, and then the lives of the people that cared for them. And it's like you are able to force yourself to process things sometimes, which is so important to do, because then we're just traumatized ER nurses with the terrifying Pinder 2 minutes, like.
Yeah, but it's true though. Like, and I don't know, sometimes I think like, is this why, sometimes we're as closed off as we are and we're able
Yeah.
to say, and actually thinking about it, the fact that he kind of said all those great things to me and then disappeared was like, I clung
Yeah,
clung
clung. Yeah.
clinged. I clung on to the
You
fact that
clinked, yes.
that
Yeah,
it
no.
felt like somebody wanted me and had
Right.
positive things to say. Because for 12 hours, we deal with, you're a shitty nurse, so you're a bitch,
Yeah.
and you're this, and you're that, and fuck you, and all this stuff. And to have somebody on the outside say something really nice to you, it's almost like you dig your nails into that and hold on so desperately, whether or not you know them or not. And
You
then
do,
you're like,
right.
oh, hold on.
Yeah,
That's.
somebody, it was that night that I was talking to somebody new on whatever app it was on. I don't know. It was like, yeah, shitty day at work. And it was, they were like, oh, I'm sorry, like, what happened? And I'm like, well, there's just some things that you learn that aren't topics to be brought to the dinner table. And, so it's kind of what I was talking about with abs, was it like, you don't talk in detail to people who aren't in the field, because, you tell one story that you're like, oh my God, listen to this cool thing that happened. And they're like, you're a fucking sick psychopath, right? But then it's like, you really need to reach out to somebody to process this. And the person who's supposed to be there for you most, and your partner, like, you don't want to do that, because it's like, no, I don't want anybody to even have like a minuscule exposure to the shit show that I went through today. And
Right.
can that be perceived as us not opening up to our partners? And the guy that I was like chatting with was like, well, maybe you just haven't had the right person to open up to. And I'm like, and we can't do this right now, because
Right.
there goes the whole, like, you're clinging to what they're saying type of thing.
Yeah. And it's almost like you don't even realize it. And then you're like, oh, shit. Right.
Right,
Right.
right, right.
Maybe it
Yeah.
is me.
Yeah, it is correct.
Yeah. We would love to hear your Tinder stories. Like, I good, bad, the ugly, I gotta know. I gotta know what you guys are also
Yeah,
going through on
and I
Tinder
will
because.
say, I don't want to interrupt you. However, I'm
No, go
gonna,
ahead.
because
Well, that's fine.
on your TikTok today, I did see a couple people commenting, and I'm not like calling them out negatively, but like, please educate me, because when one of them was addressing the fact that you were like, what's up with this ghosting? And people were like, well, then they actually have to, like, interact with you and acknowledge the fact, and they don't, and like they said, some people do it because of the reaction, like the crazy reaction they'd get back from telling somebody they weren't interested in them. And it's like, I guess I get that, and I never thought of it, because there are the people that are like, how dare you not be interested in me? I remember some guy like invited me out for a date, and I'm very much upfront with people, like, hey, I'm a single mom, like, single as a Pringle. Dad's not with us, so it's me 100% of the time with my kids. But if I make time for a date, like, I will do anything and everything in my power to have like three backup plans in case something happens.
Right.
So I will not have to cancel. But I will tell you right now that if something comes up and I do have to cancel, I'm going to do it, because my kids will always come first. And it was like, oh, of course, the same line you get from everybody. Of course, your
Yeah.
kids should always come first. Nope, you're a mom first, blah, blah, blah. And I remember, like, I had to ultimately cancel with this guy that I had never met yet, right? This was the first time I was going to meet with him. And I was like, hey, I'm so sorry, something came up, like, one of my kids is sick, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, I think it's really disrespectful. And I'm looking to date somebody that is cognizant of my time and wants to put an effort into dating me. And he was like, and he went on, and it was like the most egotistical, narcissistic response. I wish I could probably still find it in my phone somewhere. But like, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I was looking to date somebody who's not an asshole and meant what they said in the first place. So
Yeah.
I wanna hear from these people. Like, I get it. I get the whole, like, the fear of having like a psychopath come back at you, but like, that's less likely to happen. And like, it's like, don't be a dick. And I'm all about it. Like, when I was first dating my husband, ironically enough, how our marriage ended, that'll be another episode. However, I did say, hey, we're all adults here. Like, if for some reason, whether it's in a month, a year, or down the line, like, if feelings change, you lose feelings for me, I lose feelings for you, like, just tell each other. Like, the worst thing you can do is cheat on somebody, right? Like,
Right.
we're all adults. Like, just say it. Just say, hey, I'm not happy anymore. Because you know what? That shows that you at some point actually did care about me, right?
Yeah,
And
100%.
it's the same thing with ghosting. Like, all the people, oh, I hate ghosting, blah, blah, blah. Well, you just did it to like five people, myself included. So
Yeah.
it's like ghosting to me is like, you're a pussy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I
Yeah.
said it,
No,
you
I
know?
mean, like 100%, seriously, dude, that's exactly. And I saw a quote that said, men fall in love with what they see and women fall in love with what they hear. It's
Yep.
why men always lie and women always wear makeup. And I don't
Yep.
think that could describe it any more
Wow.
accurately. Yeah, it like hits home because that's
Yeah.
exactly what we do. We hear it and we're like, oh, this is wonderful. Like, this is just fantastic. And that's exactly what we fall in love with. And
Right.
we don't fall in love with the person. We fall in love with the idea of the person. And I think
Yeah.
men do it too. They think that, you know, the women are always going to be, you know, fit and all the things. And sometimes that doesn't happen. People gain weight, you lose weight, things happen, relationships happen, life happens, and you know, it's tough to kind of live up to what, you know, we're supposed to look like, I guess. But there
Right,
are also
right.
some pretty shitty women who also, you know, ghost men, and it's stupid. Or they're like, I just want my soulmate. Okay. Just
Right.
start with a first date.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, seriously,
if
sis.
you can get that far.
Yeah, like we can all say
Jesus.
like, hey, my intention, because my Tinder 20 real quick was like the other day I like matched with some kid and he was like, I shouldn't say kid, I'll say guy, but then I'll go back to that in a second. And like we're hitting it off, conversations going back and forth, great, right? And then his response to me was, do you usually go for younger guys? And I'm like, what the fuck? And
Yep.
I look at his profile and I see, oh, missed that on my late night swiping last night. And he 10 years younger than me, right? 10 years
Meh,
younger than me.
whatever.
So
Whatever.
the conversation, and I was like very upfront with him. I was like, look, it, I don't want this to come across. Oh, and the other thing was said that he wanted, like, it was like definitely want kids or whatever the section says, right? So I was
Yeah.
like, hey, like, I am a very like cut to the point person, no bullshit, like, and you'll learn this about me, but I'm gonna tell you right now, like, I've had fucked up people older than me, fucked up people younger than me. So really, I don't think I should be looking at age as my deciding factor in the situation right now. And I said, however, I am looking to date for a relationship. Like, I'm too old to just mess around and dabble in the waters or whatever.
Yeah.
My whole phase is on ice, okay? You know, I will say to you that with that being said, I see that you have a definite interest in having kids because he also doesn't, which is another thing that I usually pay attention to. But I, like, again, it was probably late at night. So I said, you know, this baby making factory is closed. Like, so if that's a deal breaker for you, like, let's shake hands now and like whatever. But, I'm good because I don't want to. I was like, I'm not trying to make a, I'm not trying to plan a marriage for us right now by any means. I might not even like the way you breathe or your voice sounds for all I know. But at the same time, like, I'm not gonna go into three, four, six dates and come to find out that like feelings develop and we want two completely opposite things.
Right. Agreed. Yeah, I mean he didn't shut it down though completely, so maybe there's a little light at the end of the much younger tunnel.
And speaking of that light at the end of the tunnel, this is going to be the conclusion of this episode of Trauma Blondes. As always, we appreciate you staying until the end, unlike most of our boyfriends. Take care, everybody. Until next time.